between the unique aspects of Rosh Hashanah and the unique aspects of Yom Kippur, I would like to thank the Mor d'Asrei of this congregation for the warm words that he uttered. I don't agree with everything he said, but I'm not going to confess it. Because of the story I heard about the Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi, my great-grandfather, Rabbi Seber, he had three sons. All the sons were there in Israel. The oldest one was, his name was Rabbi Avraham Bork. He was the oldest one. He was older than Rabbi. And he was Rabbi Smolensk. The middle one was Rav Chaim. He was Rabbi Brisk. He was an Arunokim model. And then the youngest son was Rav Simcha Soloveitchik, who was Robert first in Erev, and then he was in New York. Now, Rav Chaim had the tendency, when somebody started to it, somebody asking a certain kashi, and the kashe, let's say, we were coming. And the kashe was not the kashe. So instead, you know, of arguing with him, so he said to the person, overcome the king on the ground. So Rabbi Avraham Bork heard that. So he started to emulate Rabbi Chaim. And somebody asked him the kashe. So he said, come on the ground, Lisa. So this Halevi once overheard about the wolves telling someone, so this Halevi said to Avraham Bork, Avraham Bork, you shouldn't do that. So Avraham Bork asked, why is Chaim allowed to do it and I am not allowed to do it? He says, then Chaim zog to zog to zog to zog to zog to zog. So I don't want to confess, because I'm afraid everybody will believe. So I'm not confessing. Yeah. This is in order to bring out on the Ashkofa level the contrast between the unique aspects of Rosh Hashanah and the unique aspects of Yom Kippurim, I would like to say a brief vow, but it's only as the basis for the Dvar Ashkofa. And the Pasuk in Vayikra, in Meir, Vayikra, Chof Gimel, Pasuk, Chof Dalet, Vedaber, Vashem Elei Shalemer, Vaber, Vimifroi Elei Meir, Vachidus Ashvi, Vyechor Lachidus, Vyechor Lachem Shabbosein, Zichri Tor Mikro Kodesh. The Torah here says Zichri Tor. In Pinchos, the Torah says Yoni Tor Yamach. Rashi says it's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. That means that he has to recite the Brocha of Zichri. And the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says Zichri Tor. Zichri Tor, nay, because Zichri Tor. From Rashi it appears that this drosha is not an asmach. And the more mentions psukim is not not only that we are mechuyev to recite the bracha of Zichreines, but also the bracha of Malchies, the bracha of Sheishchies. So it seems that according to Rashi, it's not an asmach. According to Rashi, it's a drasha gemor. The deraisa where every Jew is mechuyev to recite the brachas of Malchies, Zichreines, and Sheishchies. Ramban is Matzikan Rashi, Ramban Chumash. He says there is a Gemara at the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Ramban Gimel. The Gemara says, there are two ayores, two towns. In one town, they blow the shofar, but they're not mispaller. In another town, they are mispaller, but they don't blow the shofar. So the halacha is, he should go to the town where they blow the shofar, even though he will not be able to fulfill the mitzvah of reciting Malchies, Zichreines, and Sheishchies. Why? Because shofar does not arise. The brachas of Malchies, Zichreines, and Sheishchies is only drama. So we see from this Gemara that the drashas we are mechuyev to recite the brachas, malchies, reines, sheishchies, in a smach. It's only rabba, how can Rashi say that the chidra? But it's not a kasha against Rashi. Rashi shiti is the strashis mores. Malchies, reines, sheishchies. But the chidra with the rice of reciting Malchies, Chreines, Sheishchies are only as a supplement to the shofar. If he blows the shofar, he hears the shofar, so then he's mechuyev in the raise to supplement the shmias ha-shofar with the recitation of Malchies, Chreines, and Sheishchies. But suppose he just recites the brachas of Malchies, Chreines, and Sheishchies, and it's not coupled with the Shmias HaShofar, then he has no Kima Mitzvah Midrash. Midrabbana, yes. By itself, it's a Kima Mitzvah. But on the Raisa level, he has a Kima Mitzvah in reciting the Broches, Malchies, Zichreines, and Sheishchies, only if he does it as a supplement, or as a concomitant to the Shmias Sheifa. So Menele, if in one town, Sheifa, however, true there is a chiyuv to supplement the Shmias Sheifa with the recitation of Malchies, Zichreines, and Sheifas. But suppose he doesn't supplement, so he's not mikayim the mitzvah b'shleimus, but he certainly is mikayim the mitzvah Shmias Sheifa. Shmias Sheifa on the highest level, Shmias Sheifa by itself constitutes a kiman. But the recitation of Malchies, Zichreines, and Sheishchies by itself does not constitute a kiman mitzvah on the Raisa level. On the Raisa level, by itself. So Mele, Timur says, if in one town they blow the shofar, in the other town, but they don't recite Malchies, Zichreines, and Sheishchies. In the other town, they recite Malchies, Zichreines, and Sheishchies, they don't blow the shofar. So he has to choose the alternative of hearing shofar, so then he'll have the kiyum of the raise. He will not be mekayim the raise completely, all right? But he'll have a kiyum of the raise. Mashenkin, if he goes to the town or the recite, he'll only have the kiyum of mitzvah rabbanon. And the mitzvah of the Raisi will not be in time over. Briefly, according to Rashi, it's as a supplement to Shmia Shofar. Each and every Jew is mechuyev to recite on Rosh Hashanah the broches of Malchies, Zichreines, and Sheishchies. Malchies, Zichreines, and Sheishchies. And according to Rashi, so that's the two psuk. The posik in Emeya refers to Rosh Hashanah as Zichrei Yisroel. Tabeod me Yisroel Emeya, בחילש השביעי ביחד לחילש, יהיה לכם שבוצי זכרים פה מקודש. But in Pinchas, the Torah refers to Rosh Hashanah as Yoyim Truah. ובחידש השבי, ביחד לחידש, מקרו קודש יהיה לכם, קום לכס עבדו לישעשו, יין תרוע יהיה לכם. יין תרוע, נא זכרים תרוע. And according to Rashi, it means, זכרים תרוע represents Rosh Hashanah מצד the chiyuv of blowing the shofar, of hearing the sound of shofar. And Yom Tov represents, is descriptive of Rosh Hashanah as the day on which we are mechuyev to blow the shofar, to hear the sound of shofar. Now, the Rambam, and all the Geshe, all the Geshe, Hasad Goyim, and the Rambam, and the Rambam, and Rabbi Nebuchaye, everyone, they all say that they, the purpose of shofar is to arouse us to tshuva. And the Rambam says in Hilchas Tshuva, "Af al pi shetkiyas hashofar b'Rosh Hashanah gzeiras hakosuv mikol mokim remez yesh b'davar shenemar uru yisheni hokitzu mitardim asrem eilu hayishenim mitardimo." Be shaking the Havli as man. So the Shefer calls out to each and every Jew, to each and every Jewess, to awake from the spiritual lethargy, to do tshuva. So that is the purpose, the motive, the objective of shofar. It would seem appropriate that there should be a chiyuv of tshuva, of bidu, and Rosh Hashanah. But there is no chiyuv of saying bidu and Rosh Hashanah. Not only there is a chiyuv, there is a nisa. We are not allowed to say bidu and Rosh Hashanah. There is a machlekes among the poskim, whether we are allowed to say and Rosh Hashanah Avinu Malkeinu Chatanu Lefanecha. Our meaning is we say Avinu Malkeinu Chatanu Lefanecha. But there are some poskim say no. Avinu Malkeinu Chatanu Lefanecha partakes of the nature of Vidu. And Rosh Hashanah we're not allowed to say Vidu. The Ksavi Kabole and Parsha Pinchas. He raises the question, he says, it's amazing. After all, the whole purpose of Kiyas Shofar, as the Rambam points out, as Rav Tzadi Goyim says, the Rambam says, is to arouse us to tshuva. That shofar is a spiritual alarm clock that is to awaken us from our spiritual lethargy. So why isn't there a mitzvah of tshuva? Why isn't there a mitzvah of bidu? Why is there a nisah? We are made like the poskim that we say of Avinu Malkeinu Chatanu Lefanecha, because that's not, that does not partake of bidu. But to say al chet, you're not allowed. Why not? Why not? And we say bidu in a service in tshuva, but on Rosh Hashanah, which is the first day of the Aseret Yemei, which is the Yom Hadin, and which is dedicated to tshuva, we are not allowed to say it. How is it? I would like to tell a story about my
father is a cannibal. My brother, the Shepherd, mentioned that story in the Isha Loch years ago, about 55 years ago, when our Mishpocha lived at 435 Fort Washington Avenue. So it was too far to walk to Yeshiva Sotokhan. And my father davened Shabbos and Yom Tov in the Noyim in the Medrash HaGadol 175th Street. At that time, the Lord Cheshachatavi for Basholem was the Rav of the Medrash HaGadol. So the Baltkiye and the Shamesh in the Medrash HaGadol in those days was a man by the name of Rav Avraham Rabin. It's an unusual person, tzaddik. And he was a big Baal Bechir. So he was the Baal Tkiye. So before he started to blow the shofar, before he started to say Lam Natzeach, he started to cry. And my father didn't like it. So my father said to him, one time I remember it, to Rav Avraham, Bishasirest Matze, Pinti Reichet. So, Rebbe, Papu Habisdine, so my father said to him, Rav Avraham, Losen die Schieter in das am Mitzwe wie Matze, muss ich doch was zu weh. Hell to weh. So, everybody, the Rabboni, they all stand. First time to hear such words, didn't it make sense? Why should they cry? So they asked him, after the davening, they asked him, why not? So he said, it's impossible, but in Chemie, Ches. It's mentioned in the Chem Yeches, Perek Ches, that V'aliyotzvu kol om ki yishechod alocheiv asher lifnei shar hamayim. That's a different water gate. V'ayimu v'ezre ha-sinfe v'yihovi y'sinfe tiras meyshe asher tziva ad Yishem es Yisrael. So all the Jews, as they came to Eretz Yisrael from Goles, so assembled in the Beis Hamikdash to inspire HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Rosh Hashanah. So, Vayobi Ezra Haki Enes Hatiro Lifnei Hakol Minish V'Yad Isha. Men and women, everybody, men and women, all assembled in the Beis Hamikdash, to be dispelled before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then it says, Vayikro boi lifnei ochim, vasho lifnei shar hamayim, min oir ad machtzis hayeim neged ha-anoshim, ve-anoshim ba-mevinim, ve-ozni cholom al sifrateo. I think that the reason is why the Knesset Yisrael developed, instituted, that was done by Dili Yisrael. A mere of Tashlich, strange minute. Tashlich, why Tashlich? I think that, so it's mentioned, because there's a medrash that when Avraham Avinu went with Yitzchok to the Akedah, he crossed the river, and up to his neck, he went in the river. But that's one of the reasons, but there's another reason. Because in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, so the Jews assembled in the Shaar HaMayim near the river. So to commemorate that experience, so the minhag was instituted that every year Jews should be dispowered by a river to commemorate that important experience in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. Anyway, then it says, as they read in the Torah, So the Jews started to cry. Why? Because they did tshuva. Because many Jews were involved in the avera of nisuin taruves, they intermarried. So they started to cry. They did tshuva. Something wonderful. Vayina Nechemio, Huat Yeshoso, Vezra Hakim, Hasifer, Vahalavim, Hamidinim Esom, לכל רום היעים, קודש ולבישם אלכיכם, אל תסבלו ואל תפקו, כי ויכים כל רום, כי שום עומד דברתיה. So, Nehemiah and Ezra told the people, the men and women who are crying, you can't cry today. You can't cry. כי ויכים כל רום, כי שום עומד דברתיה. They cried because they all felt remorse for the Averes of Nisuit Arubes and other Averes. Vayim Elohem, Vichu Yichlu Mashmanim, Usum Amtakim, Vishuch Moniz Lei Nochalei, Ki Kodesh Hayim Ladineinu, Vialti Otsibu, Ki Chedvas Adishem Himo Utschem. Don't cry, because it's Yom Tev, and don't be engaged too much in grief, because the joy of God, that's your strength. Isn't it proper when a person does tshuva and he's misfade to cry? Rabbi Yehudah points it out in Shari Tshuva, even the Rambam mentions it, of the Darkei Atshuva, to cry over the Averes. And here did he tshuva, and what was the purpose of reading the Torah for the whole Jewish people, men and women, to arouse them to tshuva? So they were aroused, and they cried. Why did Ezra and Nehemiah tell them not to cry? And my father said, you see, the mitzvah to cry on the tshuva. My father said to Rabbi Avraham Radi, Zeter, Yodotlaun Beinen, Bishas Rest Matze, Das tut er nicht, aber Knaver ist es nicht. Aber Rosh Hashanah beinen, Farshifa ist Rabbe. Speziell ist es. Then my father told another story. The Netziv. My father remembered the Netziv as a young boy. My father was raised in Maloshi. So the Netziv was a big Balbech. The Netziv. And he was a big Balnagn also. He was not a brisk guy, the Netziv. He was only a Balnagn. So he was a big Balnagn. So the Netziv was accustomed every Shabbos, not only Yom, to daven Musaf for the Omid. Musaf, he davened for Omid. And every Shabbos, as the Netziv davened for Omid, so he used to shed tears. Yom Tev, Pesach, Shmures, Sukkot, when everybody is rejoicing, the Netziv davened Simchas Torah for the Omid Musaf, and when he said Lipnei Chateinu, he was shedding tears like floods, my father said. And then the Mashgiach in Baloshin, I think his name was Rav Pruskovitz. So he was accustomed, he was afraid if somebody might step and slip. So he couldn't take a leg, and I'm just not allowed to take a leg and wipe the tears. So he put newspapers so that no one should sleep. But on Rosh Hashanah you also don't use it, and not one tear did he receive here. Isn't it interesting? Every Shabbos is a tear. Every Shabbos is a tear. Even though on Shabbos is also a sort of cry. But there is a medrash that Rabbi Akiva, when he cried on Shabbos, so he shed tears. And he was asked, how do you shed tears on Shabbos? Because also Shabbos in it, so Rabbi Akiva answered, these tears are not tears of tzar. These tears are tears of drinkers. So the Tziv shed tears on Shabbos, and Yom Tov was in Chastere. And Rosh Hashanah, he didn't shed a single tear. Why not? Because of the pasuk, in hand. So that explains why Rosh Hashanah we're not allowed to cry. But that's just like Spindexter said, passing the book. So we pass the book to Nehemiah. But that has to be explained too. Why? So that's our law. But we have to understand our law. Rosh Hashanah is the name of children. And Shabbos and Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkos and Shmini Atzeres, where there is a mitzvah v'samachta b'chagecha, we are allowed to cry when we daven mitzvah. And on Rosh Hashanah, according to most Rishonim, there is no mitzvah v'samachta b'chagecha. In Yireim Shittim, there is a shitzagim also, that there is a mitzvah of simcha, but we paskin there is. Most Rishonim say there is no mitzvah v'samachta b'chagecha on Rosh Hashanah, but we are not allowed to cry. Why? Well, I'm sorry. Why is it so? But that has to do with the yemidic aspects of Rosh Hashanah. And the unique aspects of Rosh Hashanah are expressed in the three brachas of Malchus, Zichreinus, and Chafres, and also symbolized by the Tkias of Tkio Tuo Tkio. Now, the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah is called Rosh Hashanah. Why is it called Rosh Hashanah? So, the obvious answer is because it's the beginning of the year. It's the first day in the year, so Reish Hashanah, the beginning of the year. That's true. But this explanation is not expressive of the whole truth. We find the Pasuk in Cheskel, where Yom Kippur is also called Rosh Hashanah. It's Perik Mem in Cheskel Pasuk Aleph. Beeschim v'chomi shono ligoluseinu b'reish ha-shono b'esher l'chidesh b'arba'esri shono achar ha-shavukso yir b'etzem ha-yim hazeh huyso l'ayad ha-dishem v'yobeis isham. So, b'reish ha-shono b'osel ha-chidesh, the tenets of the chidesh, the tzimakipur. How, since when is Yom Kippur? The first of the year is the tenth of the year. So why is it called Rosh Hashanah? But we say it's tenth, it's not many days after the first. Well, it's in China. You have to call every day of Sarsa Mitzuve Rosh Hashanah. Here, the Novi refers to Yom Kippur as Rosh Hashanah. But Rosh has two meanings. Rosh has the meaning of the beginning, and Rosh also means the head, the brain, the meach. And the real meaning of Rosh is head. But since the head is the first organ in the human organism, so because of that, it has the meaning of beginning also. But the real meaning of Rosh is not first. The real meaning of Reish is head, brain. Rosh Hashanah has to be on Rosh Hashanah. Every Jew and every Jewess has to dedicate himself and herself to the concept of Shulten HaSeichel, supremacy and sovereignty of the Seichel. In Medrash Mishlei, there is a Medrash Mishlei also. It's not, you can't find it in every library, but there is a Medrash Mishlei. In the Medrash Mishlei, so there is a machlekes between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yehoshua. Hilchon HaChochmo Metzilui. Where is the source of intelligence, of wisdom? Rabbi Lezer may believe Rabbi Yehoshua in a Bereish. Rabbi Lezer says that the source of wisdom, source of intelligence is in the heart. And Rabbi Yehoshua says that the source of wisdom, intelligence, is in the brain, the reish. It is obvious that the machlekes between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yehoshua is not a machlekes in physiology. There couldn't be such a machlekes. Everybody knows, every child knows, that the brain is the source of all wisdom, not the heart. The heart pumps the blood throughout our organism, but the source of wisdom, of intelligence, is the brain. But the heart symbolizes riches, regesh. So the machlekes is, what is real wisdom? Who is really a wise person? The one who is motivated by shilkin aseichel. This is what Rabbi Yehoshua says. Or the wise person is one who is motivated by shilkin or regesh. So this is what Rabbi Lezer says. And they will be very kimchai. There has to be a combination between the chokhmah of the reish and the chokhmah of the reish. But when there is a logic of the heart, just as there is a logic of the mind, but logic of the heart cannot reign by itself, then it becomes wild if a person lets himself be swayed just by the heart. There has to be a combination of the logic of the heart and the logic of the mind. The Chochmah Shebereish and the Chochmah Shebereish Hashono is dedicated completely to the concept of Shilfin Asech. That's why it's called Rosh Hashono. Rosh Hashono is the head, not just the first of the year. It's the head. Because on Rosh Hashanah, in order to do real tshuva, then we have to emphasize the shilkin aseich. Tshuva has two elements, everybody knows that. Two essential elements. Charot Eliovar and Kapol Elab. Now, every person, especially religious people, Jews or non-Jews, speak of tshuva. But what is the word for tshuva? In all the languages, I don't know many languages, I'm not doing English, but English I know a little. So what's the word for tshuva? Repentance. What does repentance emphasize? Which element? The element of Charot Eliovar or Kapol Elab? Obviously Charot Eliovar. If in the English language the word for tshuva would emphasize the element of Kabbalah Lehabe, then it wouldn't be called repentance, it's called returning. That's how it's called in Lashon HaKodesh. Tshuva! Return! Return to whom? Return to the Ribbono Shel'Olam. Shuva Yisrael Aleichem Elokecha. But the Mishnah, he don't have the concept of tshuva, in which Kabbalah Lehabe is the dominating element. They have a concept of tshuva, repentance, remorse, but they don't have a concept of a change of identity. That's why the Bali tshuva among the Mishnah, they do tshuva, they do a lot of remorse, but there is no change of identity. They do tshuva, I'm not trying to criticize anybody. I'm just mentioning the objective facts among the Catholics, so the devout Catholic, if he sinned, if he committed many, many averas, so he comes before the priest and he confesses. Confesses, and maybe Christ too. But then the next day, he does the same averas again. But the priest assures him, you'll have salvation. Why? They don't emphasize the element of Kabbalah Lehavim. They emphasize the element of Charot Elohim. But of course, in the Jewish Weltanschauung, in Tshuva, where Charot Elohim is the dominating element, is considered like Tehillah B'Shaar HaYomim. Dominating element is Kabbalah, but there is a prerequisite of Charot Elohim also. Why? Because psychologically a person could not change his behavior pattern unless he is overwhelmed by a feeling of remorse. As long as he doesn't feel remorse for his heretofore behavior, how will he change? It's psychologically impossible for him to change his behavior pattern. So that's why the halacha requires Charot Elohim. But when the Rambam explains the essence of tshuva, so he says that he has to be nischarit. I don't have the Rambam here. Nischarit alova. And be Kabbalah, and he should wipe it out from his mind. If a person keeps on indulging in remorse and remorse, then he'll never change his identity. He has to have Charot Elohim, and then forget. The Rambam explains the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. The three things are Kireach, Zardin, and Shalom. Zardin, Shalom. One of the three things that is Kireach, Zardin, and Shalom is Shino Hashem. So, because of that, many Jews have a minig, if somebody in the family is very sick, so they give him a new name. My father didn't approve of it. Why didn't my father approve of it? Because the Rambam is stupid. Mentions Shina Hashem, but he explains it differently. In other words, he has to change his identity and say, Acher Ani, I'm not the same person. Doesn't mean just by adding the new name. And I so many times, I don't criticize this minute. But so many times when a member of their family is very sick, and then when they decide to add a new name, to change the name, then the members of the family usually become very desperate. They become very desperate. They become divested of bitachon. So the pshat in the pshat, in Shino Hashem, is not just a new name. It means that we have to change the identity. I once heard from my father that my father did not allow, at the end of the tilings, you find the tefillah that you have to say in conjunction with the Shino Hashem. So you have a very strange tefillah, and no one knows who put it in. And there he says, V'yafiligza, she, I don't want to mention, but, Sari Nishan Mishmei, Klema, Im Nigza Rale, and this one whose name was so-and-so, but he was not Nigza. My father didn't allow this tefillah to be said. Because it has a mysterious meaning, and it was not put in by the Chachmei Yisrael, by any of the Rishonim. or even by the Dele Achai. Who put it in? Somebody put it in. My father felt that this is like a liftach pelisot, to say that. And the real pshat in Shir Hashem is that people, if somebody is a chele, then all those who are near the chele, who are close to the chele, should do tshuva. Should do tshuva. So they'll be mishanel deyashem. And sometimes when the people who are close to the chele are mishanel deyashem, by changing their identity, then that will be conducive to a shinu gzavim. But not just by giving another name. So tshuva consists in the change of identity, shinu Hashem. The tshuva. But Chavot HaRova is indispensable for tshuva. Why is it indispensable? Because it's psychologically impossible for a person to make a determination to change his identity, to mend his ways, and to start a new chapter in his life if he's not overwhelmed by remorse. So, there are two elements in tshuva. One element is Kabbalah Lahabe. Kabbalah Lahabe is descriptive of Shulchan Aseicha. The other element is Chavot HaRova. Chavot HaRova is descriptive of Shulchan Aregesh, of the Chochma Shebelev. Kabbalah Lahabe emanates from the Chochma Shebereish, and Chavot HaRova emanates from the heart, from the regesh. And it's a real divrei kimchai. Hichon ha-chochma mitzuyo. But lezare may belay. Without delay, without remorse, there couldn't be any children. But Rabbi Yeshua on a page. The predominant element is Kabbalah Lahabi. Kibbutzipa is dedicated to both concepts. Chavot HaRova and Kabbalah Lahabi. Rosh Hashanah is dedicated only to Kabbalah Lahabi. That's why it's also on Rosh Hashanah to say Vidu, because Vidu emanates from Chavote, not from Kabbalah Lahabi. And Rosh Hashanah is not dedicated. Is not dedicated to the Shemitah Regesh, to the Chochmah Shebereish. Rosh Hashanah is dedicated to the Chochmah Shebereish. So it's true. We have to blow the shofar. We have to blow the shofar. Psychologically impossible without remorse. He has to be overwhelmed by remorse that he has been sinful and has been wicked and he has been following the inclinations of his heart. But the predominant element is always Kabbalah. Yom Kippur is dedicated to both. So in the Tfilas Nirei, we say, Meronu, Mochayinu, Mochazdeinu, Mayisheinu, Matit Keseinu, Makucheinu, Matviroseinu, Maniva Lifanecho, Halikol Agibirin Kayu Lifanecho, Ban Shashik Lohoyu, Vachachom Tivu Madon Vinim Tivu Haskil, Kirev Masim Teyu, Mechayim Hevel, Umeisar Odom Naveimo, Oin, Hakil Hovel. such a pessimistic approach towards man, man is nothing. Hadila Fogin Homakelis, Hakil Hevel, Mesa Hodom in Adeimo, Oi, Ki Hakil Hodom. That emanates from the heart. That emanates from the feeling of grief, from the feeling of remorse over the despicable and contemptible behavior pattern of his life. But then, Tochgrimibo, he says, Ato yidalta nishnereish, vata kereo lamilifanecho. Is that consistent with the philosophy of Mesa Odom Rabim Oin Kehakel Hobel? Ato yidalta nishnereish. The human being is unique. He's in the center of the universe. He's responsible for the Rebbeinu Shalom. The Rebbeinu Shalom has a relationship with him. The Rebbeinu Shalom is Kiras Bris of the human being. How can we reconcile the previous sentences of Meonu, Machaye, Matke, Mayushese, Makachay, Magurse, Anevo Lepanach, Halikogibin Kaf, Kil Hoyo, and Vaining to the Haske, Vain Masain Tail, Mesa Odom and Abeimo, Oin Castle Hobel, Havela Volim, what is a human being? He's not on a high level, he's not a very low level, he's on an animalistic level. And then, Toch Gedevo, we say, Ato Yidalto Enish Mareish, to stand before the Rebbeinu Shalom. He's in the center of the universe. So, the first sentences are expressive of the concept of charote, of shilton haregesh, and the other sentence is expressive of the shilton haseichel. And this is the ultimate objective of tshuva. But you cannot change your identity just by saying, oh, I'm on a high level. If he's not overwhelmed with remorse for the despicable behavior pattern of his life, all the avarice and the crimes and the wickedness and the jealousies and the tiredness, he has to be overwhelmed by remorse in order to enable himself to attain this element of tshuva kabbalah lahabe, of changed identity, of shino hashem. So it looks like a dichotomy. Of course there is a dichotomy, but both are true. Chochmo can take effect as a result of combining these two concepts of Chochmo Shebeleib and Chochmo Shebereish. That's Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, we keep on saying Vidu. In every tefillah, B'lach HaShem we say Vidu. Then the Shliach Tzibur, when he says Vidu, the whole Tzibur has to join him with Vidu. He keep on saying Vidu al Chet, because Yom Kippur is dedicated not only to Kabbalah al Habeh, but also to Chavot Lava. Rosh Hashanah, we are not allowed to say Vidu. But the purpose of Rosh Hashanah is Tshuva. Only the element of Kabbalah al Habeh, but not Chavot Lava. So how can you have Kabbalah Habe without Chavot Lavavah? That's psychologically impossible. Well, we have to give vent to our charote feelings before Rosh Hashanah. And Shchei Shal, we have to start searching our hearts and give vent to our remorse for the averes and the sins and the crimes that we committed in the course of the year, but on Rosh Hashanah itself, we have to forget. On Rosh Hashanah, we have to be on the Madrege, that we are already able to attain the element of Kabbalah Lahabe. That's why Ezra Nehemiah told the Jews in the Beis Hamikdash not to cry. Your strength consists in Shulchan Aseich, and there cannot be Shulchan Aseich without peace of mind. Now, we have three brachas on Rosh Hashanah, Malchias, Zichrinus, and Shulchanus. And we have three notes in the Tkiyas of Shulchan. Tkiyo, Tzruah Tkiyo. Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that the mitzvah of Shefer is Tkiyo, Tzruah Tkiyo, three times, because we have Shulchan mentioned three times, Tzruah mentioned three times. One time we had it mentioned in a mayor, Zichrin Tzruah, and then we have it mentioned Yen Tzruah, in Pinchos, Yen Tzruah, and then we have it mentioned in connection with Yevil and Yom Kippurim, Vavartem Shefer Tzruah. So altogether we have three times mentioned. So we learn out the shofar that is mentioned in connection with Yevo applies to Rosh Hashanah. The shofar that is mentioned in connection with Rosh Hashanah applies to Yevo. So that means that there has to be three truths. But there is halacha. There's halacha that every tzruah must be preceded by a tkiyah and must be followed by a tkiyah. So mainly it's tkiyah, tzruah, tkiyah, but since it's three tzruahs and every tzruah is preceded by a tkiyah and followed by a tkiyah, so that means that we have to blow nine kelas. That's what we are mechuyev. But Rabavuye was misakein that we should blow tkiyo shvorim, tzruah tkiyo three times, and tkiyo shvorim tkiyo three times, and tkiyo tzruah tkiyo three times. Why? Because a sofik developed what's the nature of a tzruah, whether it's tnuche gonich, it's like a coughing sound. Or it's the sound of Yuri oil, the moaning sound. In other words, to do. Or it's Shvorim Tzruah, it's a combination of Nuche Gonich and Yuri oil. So it's Shvorim Tzruah, so to. And Rabbi Goyen says, it doesn't mean that the Chachamim had a suffix, what Tzruah means. That's inconceivable. The Mitzvah of Shefer every year, the Chachamim had a suffix. And what did Jews do throughout the ages? How did they blow? So Rabbi Goyen says, Midrash, it doesn't make any difference, because the Tnuche Gonich, the coughing sound, let's say, like Shvorim, is expressive of grief. And Yerulei Yolil, Tzruah, is expressive of grief. And Tnuche Gonich, Yerulei Yolil, together, Shvorim, Tzruah, is expressive of grief. So on the right level, he can be Mekayim with three Shvorim Tzruahs, and he can be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Shofar with three Shvorims and with three Tzruahs. But Rav Avuhi saw that there were various communities in the Jewish people, in some communities they were blowing a yuchegonir, in some communities they were blowing yulei oil, in some communities they were blowing yuchegonir and yulei oil together, so in order to introduce uniformity in all of joy. So he was besaking that we have to blow all the three types of sounds. Yuchegonir and yulei oil together, shvorim tuor. Yuchegonir by itself, shvorim, and yulei oil by itself, tuor. But the mitzvah is tuor, and every tuor has to be preceded by tkiyor, and has to be followed. Now the nitziv in his peyush, and the hamikdavar, so mentions a very poignant insight. Now the Torah says in Baalei Yischa, Yud, Posik Tes and Yud, Vichisobeu Milchomo Ba'atzichem, Alatzar Atzir Eschem, Vareisem Vachatzitzreis, Vinizkaltem Lifnei Adishem Lekeichem, Vinishaitem Eirechem. If there will be war, if the Jewish people will be involved in war because the enemy has attacked us, so then we have to blow a tour. Hareisa means a tour. Niskalten lifnei Hashem lekeichem, v'nishaitem eirechem. Uvyim simchaschem uvmeadechem, uvroshi chodcheichem, uzidkatem v'chatzitzreiz. Al liseichem v'al zifri shalmeichem, hoyo lochem zikorein, lifnei alekeichem, ani ad Hashem alekeichem. So it is remarkable. In Posik Tes, in connection with a time of trouble, of disaster, so then the Torah says, Vareisem b'chatzitzreis. You will blow with the trumpets. You will blow a tour. And in Posik Yud, in conjunction with day of joy, moments of joy, then you'll blow a tkiyo. Now, tkiyo is an unbroken sound. Tkiyo is a broken sound. Whether it's pnuchegonach yuleyol or pnuchegonach yuleyol together, it's a broken sound. So tkiyo is an unbroken, unwavering sound. It is symbolic of joy, of prosperity, of peace of mind. But the tour, the broken sound, symbolic of grief, of trouble, of frustration. It is interesting. I'm a little older than most of you, but there are some here who are as old as I. And one does not have to be as old as I, even if you're a little younger. But if you remember the days of the Second World War, so Baruch Hashem, fortunately, we only had test air raid alarms, not real air raid alarms. But every week we had air raid alarms, test air raid alarms. So the sound was a broken sound. It was expressive of grief, broken, wavering sound. Then came the all clear signal. That was it, feel. Why? Because the boat is out. So he did American Greed. That the broken sound is symbolic of grief, of trouble, of frustration. And the old clear signal, the unbroken sound, is symbolic of peace, of relaxation. So the chief says, this bomb is in the dimension. So the chief says, that the reason is why the Torah says it was a test. He shall blow a trumpet, because so the essential note is the note of trumpet in Borges, which is symbolic and expressive of grief, of sorrow, of trouble. But of him some custom of Madechem in moments of joy, of Rosh Chodeshem, Usikatem Chatzis. Then the essential note is the note, the unbroken sound, which is symbolic and expressive of joy, of peace of mind, of contentment, of relaxation. But the halachi is, doesn't make any difference. In time of war, so we have to blow Hareizem Chatzisres, but this tour of the Chatzitzres has to be preceded by its core key of the Chatzitzres and followed by its key of the Chatzitzres. And the Yinsim Chaskam of Madechen, the Bishamigdosh, of Rosh Hashem, so the Gemara Binerachem points out that it is also Tkio, Tkio, Tkio. So it doesn't make any difference. The answer is true, it doesn't make any difference. Whenever you blow shofar, or Chatzitzres, you have to blow the Tkiyot through it. And you cannot blow just the Tkiyot without the Tkiyot. You cannot blow the Tkiyot without the Tkiyot. There has to be a combination of the Tkiyot and the Tkiyot and the Tkiyot. But sometimes the essential thing is the Tkiyot. But you cannot blow just the Tkiyot without the Tkiyot. Sometimes the essential thing is the Tkiyot. But you cannot blow it here without its work. Some melee in Pasuk Tes, the Netziv says, the Torah, in connection with Kitzodeo Mokhon Vartzeche, our Tzara Tzira Eshrem, so the essential thing is Vareis and Vachasis. But just to blow it through and indulge in sorrow without any confidence, sorrow, grief, is a corrupting factor. Then it doesn't elaborate, so I am elaborating on what it is. Sorrow by itself is a corrupting factor. When a person is overtaken by trouble, then he is likely to become demoralized. Mark Twain was a great American writer, and he was a religious person, but then he was overtaken by tragedy. His son died. So he became demoralized, Mark Twain. And he started to be Mechare from the Garim. And together with his chiluf, with giduf directed against the Rebbeinu Shalom, there was a sinne against everybody. Why? He was a very fine person, but he couldn't cope with trouble. Couldn't cope with it. The Chidushi Arim had 11 sons, and they all died in his lifetime. Mark Twain had one son that died in his lifetime. He became demoralized. But a great man, Mark Twain. A great humorist. But he didn't have the strength to be humorous vis-à-vis the trouble that overtook him. The Chidush Rabin was not a humorist. He was a goel. He had 11 sons, and all the 11 sons died in his lifetime, the Chidush. And one son who died in his lifetime was survived by his son. That was the Stasenes. Did the Chidush Rabin become demoralized? Why? because Mark Twain, he was only able to blow its horn in time of grief. He was very talented. He blew its horn in time of grief. And what did it? Lethal demoralization, moral corruption, to blasphemy and cynicism, because it wasn't subjectively in his mind, he did not combine the tequila with the Torah. He combined in time of trouble when he suffered the bereavement of his son, so he combined it with the tequila too. That's why halacha requires that whenever you blow, sometimes you have to blow it too. Kisaveyu milchomo ba'artichem, ala tzara tzirachem, ba'areise b'chatzichem. You have to become overwhelmed by grief, by sorrow. And as the Rambam says, the beginning of Luchas Tainis, that when the tzibur is overtaken by disaster, by trouble, then we shouldn't chas v'sholem sink in that pitfall of saying, Mikre! It's only Mikre! It's not a Mikre! The Chachomim today, so they're trying to understand why is humanity, the human race, afflicted by the epidemic of the AIDS? So there are all kinds of theories. Why only now? So one theory I read by a scientist, that why is it that AIDS originated only a few years ago? They were homosexuals in the 70s also, in the 60s also. Why only in 1982? It originated in 1982. Why? So there's a theory, it came from Africa. And in Africa, so certain people in Africa had relations with monkeys. And this originated in monkeys. The origin of the monkeys, why? Because mother man, unfortunately, is disposed to say, whenever he's overtaken by trouble, Mikra! It's a Mikra! So, Kisabeyo Muhammad Ba'atichem, Alatzar Atzir Eschem, Ba'areisem Ba'chatzisres, never mind Mikra! There's the reason! It's our fault, and Chas V'Sholem, don't mistake me, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that this is the fault just of the homosexuals. Chas V'Sholem. That's not right. When a disaster, a calamity overtakes the community, everybody should feel it's his fault too. Not to point a finger at the other fellow. Many of the homosexuals are victims of the permissive attitude shown by society. That there are no moral values. It's more the fault of the teachers than of the youngsters who unfortunately sink in the abyss of immorality. The Rambam says that the Mishnah Tainis, when Beznis gives a Tainis a Latzibo, so then what does Bezn have to do? To check the weights, that they are accurate, to see that there is honesty, not to point the finger at that fellow. That's not their HaTorah. When a tragedy overtakes a boss with children, innocent children, to say is the fault of the parents of the children. That is repugnant to Korat in a Korat. From Beishis Boro, not up to Lainey called the soil, but from Beishis Boro up to the last Mishneh Yoktin. The Mishneh in Azov says, Hoyokeder is one of Loyemale, Sreyamion Nokiovat, Kiger Shomro Haverovniet. But the Rambam says that it's Azorius when the calamity overtakes the community to say Mikre, we have to say it's because of our sins. Yes, we have to say it's because of our sins, but not because of the sins of the other fellow. It's because of the sins of all of us. The other fellow might be a victim. He's also at fault. He's not innocent. But it's the fault of everybody, of the whole society, of the permissive attitude that was adopted by the community at large. So, Kisoveu Milchomo Ba'atechem, Alachar Atireschem, Varieisem Bechatzeitzreis. You have to be overwhelmed with grief. With grief, because it's our fault that there is trouble. There is a reason for trouble. We don't understand it, but there is a reason. Many times it's beyond the inquisitive grasp of our limited mind, but there is a reason for everything, and we have to mend our ways, but we couldn't mend our ways if we are not overwhelmed by grief. But has we shown that we should engage ourselves exclusively in grief? So the essential element is a tshuva, remorse, grief, sorrow, but it has to be preceded by Tkio and Lifanel and by Tkio Lachel. We have to, in moments of sorrow and trouble, we have to remind ourselves of the joys of life. Otherwise, trouble is a corrupting factor. And the same thing is true of moments of joy. Uvim simchaschem uvmeadechem uvroshi chocheichem uvzikatem chatzitzem. Then the essential element is tkiyo, contentment. An unbroken note, unwavering note. But just the sorrow by itself is a corrupting influence. So joy by itself is also a corrupting influence. Vayishman yishurun vayivot. The Mishnah says in Broches, that Hoyoimi Bitfilo is lo yapsi, hafu nochoshko halikve, vafu melach she bishlame. They are two distracting factors in the course of the Jews' encounter and communion with the Rebbeinu Shalom in the course of generations. One distracting factor was in Nochosh Koch Mitri. Sorrow, trouble, calamity is a demoralizing influence. So, immediately Ashkino, a Jew should never become distracted by the trouble, yes. But then there is another distracting factor, and that is Melach Sheol Bishleimen. And it's a remarkable thing, it's a remarkable thing. Jews, through the millennia, who are able to withstand the Tzoret, the Nisoyen of Tzorets, of trouble. They were Jews who, when they are put in the crematoria, they sang, Ani Mamin Benino Shleimo, Bivias HaMashiach, Viafo Pishit Yisrameya, Im Kozeach HaKalim Cholim Shiyaveh. But something paradoxical. Take Henry Kissinger. He's the son of refugees. He himself was raised in Germany. And while he was in Germany, even though Hitler was in power, he was an observant Jew. And then, when the Melech started the Bishel Bishleimen, he abandoned the Torah. The Nisoyen of Melech Shel Bishleimen is sometimes more difficult than the son of Shvara Halitri. But why? Because Sarah is a corrupting influence. The Nochushkor Halikhe is a corrupting influence. And in order to be able to cope with the Nochushkor Halikhe, we have to combine, in moments of sorrow, the memories of the moments of joy. And moments of joy by itself is also a corrupting influence. By Yishman, Yishun, by Yivod. So the Torah is in the Chayev Jews to blow it kiyo toward kiyo. In all occasions. But just to blow it through, that's not. It has to be preceded by it, and followed by it. And of Yensim Chaschem, of Madechem, of Rosh Kachechem, of Zikatem, of Chatzis Reis, of Zichem, of Zichre Shalmeichem. You also have to blow a note. The essential note is one of joy, an unbroken sound. But you can't blow a single note. You have to combine the joy with the memories of the misery and the tragedy that overtakes human beings. Otherwise, you will be Vayishman Yishuron Vayivat. You will become insensitive to human suffering. Now the Mitzvah points out that in the Pasuk, in Pinchas, ובחידש השבי, ביחד בחידש, מקרו קידש יהיה לכם, כמו לחס הביא או ויסעסו, יהיה נתרו יהיה לכם, דוד נצא יהיה נתקיר. So the Hamidova says, because the essential element of the Rosh Hashanah is the broken sound, because the purpose of the Shofar is to awaken us from our spiritual lethargy. We shouldn't be complacent. Complacency and spirit in regard to spiritual things is the source of all evil. Is there Osher Asamiya Bechalkin, my father said, that's in regard to material things. But Chas V'Sholem in regard to spiritual things to be Asamiya Bechalkin, that's arrogance. If a person is Asamiya Bechalkin with his level, his spiritual level, then he's arrogant. Material things, one has to be Samir B'chalke, not in spiritual dimensions. The Braise in Misachas Nideh, this is the pivot around which the whole Sefer HaTanya revolves. That when a child is born, so much being they say, Tehei Tzadik Valtei Roshe, Vapilu in Kolo'ilo Mimru Melecho She'ato Hu Tzadik. Now the Balatanya raises the question, but the Mishnah in Pirkei Novi says, Al Ti Roshe Bifnei Atzmecho. So the Tanya says, it doesn't mean Roshe. Afilu Kol Olam Imri Molecho She'ato Tzadik, Al Ti Bifnei Atzmecho Lekel Roshe. It means Roshe, that you don't measure up to your potential. Not that if the whole world says I'm a tzaddik, but the Chofetz Chaim, the whole world said that he's a tzaddik, so the Chofetz Chaim should assume he's a Roshe. Nonsense. But Chofetz Chaim always felt that he doesn't measure up to his potential. As tzaddik as he was, he could be better. Complacency on his spiritual level is the source of all evil. Complacency. Samaya Bechalki, material things, not in spiritual things. So here, the Torah says, in order to arouse us to tshuva, then we have to be overwhelmed by grief. The essential element is the element of tshuva, but tshuva by itself is a corrupting influence. He has to be preceded by Itkio and followed by Itkio. We have to indulge a little in grief because a feeling of remorse is indispensable towards a changed identity. But it's primarily dedicated to shift to the concept of shifting a seichel, That's why you're not allowed to cry. We have to be aroused to tshuva, but not to cry. Not Rosh Hashanah. And Kippur, yes. Kippur is dedicated to both concepts. So, and the halacha of tkiyo, tchula tkiyo, is symbolic of the Jewish Weltanschauung. The Yisraelim have a doctrine of original sin. According to the doctrine of original sin, so man is born tainted, contaminated. But we reject, we Jews, we reject this doctrine of original sin. We say every day in the morning, Alikai nishomo shena sato bi teyoi Ato bi rosso ato bi tsalto ato bi tachto bi Vato mishamro bi kiyo bi vato shtetitun meni larzi opi Lo si lovei Man is not born tainted, contaminated. Then every child, Jew or non-Jew alike, comes to the world pure and innocent. A child is the symbol of innocence, of purity, but as a result of the child's contact with society, he acquires many blemishes and many imperfections. So, we have to be aroused and to feel grief over our sins, but only as a medium towards Kabbalah Rabbe, towards a change of identity. But we cannot indulge in grief. We are not allowed to cry. We are not allowed to cry. So this is the symbolism of Tkiyot toward Tkiyot. Every person has trouble. There is so much trouble in the world. Sickness. Earthquakes, whatnot, all kinds of trouble. We can understand. But we have to remember that the Rekim or Source Odom Yoshua, the Him or Big Shofet B'Yisrael. Man is born pure and innocent. In the original status of man, in the Gan Eden, it was also good, it was a Kiyom Deo. But then, because of man's fall, because of man's sins, and it comes, the man's fall is a constant process. It was not only something that took place in the Gan Eden by Adam and Chava. It constantly takes place. So, but then he has to remember that if he will do tshuva, he'll change his identity, then he'll be able to be overtaken by Tkiyot Leo. This is the symbolism of Shofar, of Tkiyo, toward Tkiyo. And the three brachas of Malchias, Zichreinias, and Chafias are also expressive of the same concept. On the Shishonah, there is a mitzvah to recite Malchias, Zichreinias, and Chafias. Why? Not an Kippur, but for Shishonah. Because for Shishonah is essentially dedicated to the Shilton Oish, the brain, the Shilton of the brain. What are the prerequisites for a sound brain, a sound mind? One is, a sound mind has to be a conscious mind. You know, if a person, one of its lungs, sinks in a coma, then he doesn't have a sound mind. He has a sick mind if he sinks in a coma. Is not conscious. So, and Rosh Hashanah, we have to recite the Brocha of Zichreinis. What does the Brocha of Zichreinis express? Ato Zichir es kol ha-nishkochev. Rebbein Yishon is omniscient. He knows everything. So what? Rebbein Shalom knows everything, not only on Rosh Hashanah. Rebbein Shalom knows everything every day. So why do andere Seilen musst schauen. Der Bruch hört sich rein nichts. Hat er sicher ein Skoll. Ein Skoll an mich vor. Why? Why not go to Shona? No, because there is an Eitzling, the Torah of a lack to be brought. That the Bunchel knows everything, die sicher kann ich kochen. We too have to be sicher kann ich kochen. Mahua Vater, not only Mahua Rachel and Pati Rachel. But the Bunchel knows sicher kann ich kochen. We have to search our hearts and find out the Nishkochen. Sometimes a person, and that is emphasized by modern psychology, sometimes a person does a certain act and he rationalizes under the guise of justice, righteousness. I mean, what about the counter-rebels? They are freedom fighters. Freedom fighters. Under the guise of freedom, they kill innocent children. They don't search their hearts. That they are committing acts of murder. So the Chochem, Oliver North said, war is a dirty game. They have to do it. All right? That's what Oliver North says. Because he's not Zichar Kohen Shkochas. And Rosh Hashanah, we dedicate ourselves to Shifin HaSeichel. So we have to do everything that is conducive to a healthy mind and a spiritual level. We have to be conscious. We have to awaken from our spiritual lethargy, as the Rambam says. Our Bishop Kisa Shiva Rosh Hashanah of the Apostle, we call Mokim.